God of mercy, we want to know what to do to inherit your love. Speak your truth to us, set us free, and bring us with you on the path of life. We open our heart to your word. Amen. From the New Testament, a reading from Hebrews. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since, then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the beloved of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Well, you know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not defraud. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father, your mother. The man said, "Yes, I've kept all these since my youth." And Jesus looked at him, loving him, and said, "You lack one thing. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." And when he heard it, the man was shocked. And he went away, grieving, because he had many possessions. Jesus looked around at the disciples, and he said, "Oh, how hard it is for people with wealth to enter into the realm of God." And they were perplexed by this. And he said, "How hard it is to enter the realm of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a person with money to enter the realm of God." And they said, "Well, then who could be saved?" And Jesus said, "With people, that's actually impossible. But with God, all things are possible." And then Peter said, "Look, we've left everything to follow you." And Jesus said, "Listen to this. I tell you, truly, no one who leaves house or sisters or brothers or mother or father or children or fields will fail to receive in this age 100-fold houses and sisters and brothers and mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapters 9 and 10 in the Gospel of Mark, we hear Jesus continually raising the cost of following Jesus. At first, he talks about how even if you give a cup of water to one of these little ones, you will not lose the reward. And then he says you not only have to give a cup of water to little children, you have to welcome the little children. And then he says you have to be vulnerable like little children. Hear him kind of raising the stakes. And this fellow comes along and says, what do I have to do? And Jesus says, feed the poor, sell everything, give to the poor. Whoa. Then he starts talking about leaving your home, your family, your beloved people, your fields, your way of livelihood. In the passage after the one that I just read, Jesus will go on to tell his disciples again, as he has before, that he thinks they're going to kill him. And he says, if you really want to follow me, you have to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to take up your cross and follow me all the way to your death. Whoa, talk about inflation. What happened to the cup of water? Now, I think when Jesus talks about this sort of inflating scale of what it costs to follow Jesus, when he talks about giving a cup of water to a child, that one is sort of so simple that we don't really think about that. We shrug and say, well, yeah, of course. And when he talks way at the other end about giving your life as a martyr, that seems a little much, and so we don't really think that that applies to us. But somewhere in the middle, Jesus says something about what it costs to follow Jesus, somewhere in there, that gets your goat. Because it's where you're at. Because Jesus is talking to you. For most people, interestingly enough, it comes right in the middle where Jesus talks about money. He talked about money more than anything else. And there's a reason behind that. All of us long for what we might call a more rich life. And by that, we don't necessarily mean having millions of dollars. We just mean more of whatever life is supposed to be. We want more of that. We all want that. Whether you think of it as happiness or peace or fulfillment, we want that. Some people think of it in religious terms. If you think of it as salvation or entering the realm of God, or heaven, there's something that we want. And the reason we want it is because we don't have it yet. We don't feel like we're quite there. And if we do feel like we have it, we're afraid of losing it. And that anxiety, wanting what we don't have, or being afraid of losing what we do have, that anxiety runs our lives, and we don't realize it. We are total slaves to our anxieties. And nothing represents that anxiety more clearly and attracts that anxiety more effectively than money. And one of the ways I know that is when I talk about preaching and when I preach about praying, nobody mentions it. When I preach about helping other people, being helpful, or being forgiving, nobody objects to that. When I talk about making great sacrifices, people don't mind. When I talk about money, whoa, I hear about it. Because I've touched a nerve. Because money represents our anxiety. That's what money represents for us. Notice how people talk about what somebody is worth. When people talk about, what is Donald Trump worth? Why is that so funny? But you notice how we play that game? How when we say what somebody is worth, what we mean is how many millions of dollars. We don't mean their preciousness as a human being. Donald Trump is not worth any more than Finley and Kanan are. Because it's not about money. It's about who we are. But money represents for us what we're worth. It represents our anxiety about what we can have or can't have, what we do have, what we won't have, what we do have but we're afraid of losing, all that stuff. That's what money represents, and that's why Jesus talked about it all the time, because what he wanted to do was to set us free from our anxiety. He said, you can live free. You just need to get free of your anxiety. So what he says when he interacts with this man, and for that matter, his disciples afterwards, is not a burden. It feels awful to us, right? When Jesus starts saying, oh, I have to sell everything I own and give to the poor, it feels like this is going to be a tough hurdle to jump over. Jesus is not giving us a barrier. He's opening a door for us. He's giving us a gift. Notice that Jesus looks at the man and loves him. He's not criticizing him. He's not judging him. He's loving him. And what he sees when he sees this man, which is not the way God sees or the way we see when we see people on the street, he sees the way God sees. He sees this man's preciousness and he sees his anxiety. Right away, the guy says, good teacher. And Jesus says, whoa, wait a minute. Why do you call me good? You don't believe, do you, that there are some people who are good and some people who are not? There's your anxiety right there. You believe some people are worth more than others? Some people deserve more than others? Well, then, of course, you're going to be anxious about how do I get to be worth more? And Jesus' answer is, there's nothing you can do to be worth more than you are. The guy doesn't believe this, of course, so Jesus walks him through it. Okay, what are the commandments? What are the rules you have to follow? I followed all those rules. And then Jesus comes to the point where he realizes here is a man who seems to have everything. And he's poor. He's impoverished. He's living in anxiety. You lack one thing. Here's this rich man, and Jesus is going to give him one more thing to make him even richer. Here's what you need. Let go of your money. The reason Jesus talked about money so much is because it represents our anxiety. And the reason he talked about it was so he could show us how to let go of our anxiety, which is to let go of our money. Sounds wrong, doesn't it? It sounds like you'll be more anxious if you have less money. That's the definition of addiction. You can't let go because you think you'll be unhappy. Jesus talked about money so much because we're addicted to money. And I know that because people never bother me about the other things I preach about, just money. Alcoholics don't mind if you tell them they ought to be eating less fat and more vegetables. But they do mind if you tell them to cut off the drinking because that's the part they're anxious about. But ask anybody who goes to AA, how do you get sober? And they'll tell you, step one, quit drinking. And if you can't quit drinking, that's pretty clear evidence that you're addicted to it. If you can't let go of your money, you're addicted to it. And all the excuses that you have are the excuses of your addiction. That's your anxiety talking. Oh, but if I gave more money, then I would be poor. Oh, baloney. How many of us are anywhere near impoverishing ourselves? Oh, but if I gave money to the poor, they would misspend it. Oh, yeah, how many of us spend our money perfectly wisely? Don't look at how I spent my money. All of our excuses, there are anxiety talking. There are fear running our lives. And Jesus is trying to show us how to sober up and get free. Step one, let go of your money. The great thing is, Scripture gives us this wonderful gift. A way to practice letting go of our anxiety. Scripture says, tithe. Take 10% of the money that you get or the money that you live off of, whatever that money is, whatever you think you need, take 10% off the top and give it away. And see what happens. What happens is that your anxiety doesn't get to make the choice. You do. That might put you in a place where you think you're going to be more anxious because now you only have 90% of what you thought you had. Keep going. Just like the drunk that thinks they're going to be miserable because they're not going to drink today, until they get into the day and realize they feel better. And you can't realize that until you do it. So Jesus says to the man, you will never get this until you let go. It's like somebody who's on a ship with a treasure chest full of gold coins and the ship is sinking. You either have to let go of whatever you think is the most valuable thing in your life, or you will have nothing at all, including your life. That's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you love more than God, let go of it. And whatever your excuse is, that's what you love more than God. And we have some pretty good excuses, like, well, what about my children? And Jesus says, I tell you, no one who walks away even from children, even from fields, livelihoods, the people that you depend on, the people that you love, nobody who lets go of those fails to receive 100-fold in this age. And that's a fact. How do I know that? Because for 37 years, everybody that I've talked to about this, and everybody who has agreed that what they need to do in order to become more free is to become more generous, and they need to practice letting go of more money, tells me this feels like the wrong thing. I'm pretty anxious. This is not going to work out. And I say, if it doesn't work out, I'll give you the money back. And for 37 years, I've never heard anybody come to me and say, I increased my generosity and I regret it. Not once. It's a fact. I've never heard anybody say, I tried tithing and it made me miserable. It's never happened. Because what happens is when we take that first step, when we sober up enough to let go even of just a little more money, we become aware of all of those other things that we're anxious about. And then we realize that if we were anxious about money and God helps us to survive anyway, that all those other things that we're anxious about, God helps us to survive anyway. And we become more free and our lives are more rich rather than less. It's happened every single time. And I challenge you to prove me wrong. But in order to do it, you got to tithe. Or at least increase your generosity. And if it doesn't work, I will give you the money. I will pay you the difference. I don't mind taking that risk. It's never failed. Jesus is not placing a burden on us. He's opening a door. He's showing us how to get free of all the things that we cling to that get in the way of receiving the grace that God has for us. All the things we need to do so that we can come to God with open hands. All the things that get in the way of our loving perfectly. And all of them are anxieties. They're not assets. They're not pleasant. And Jesus is showing us how to get free. Let go. I'll catch you, he says. And he's always right. Try it. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, give us the honesty to bring before you our anxieties, to lay them at your feet, to trust you. Help us to let go and become free. God of grace, for your infinite love that we see in Christ, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.